Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Welcome to Clash of the Titles, the podcast that pits two movies with loads in common in a fight to the death to see which one comes out victorious. This week, in the red corner, we're off to Alabama to meet two of the cutest kids in the world, Scout and Jevon, possibly the greatest dad of all time, TM, in one Atticus Finch. It's time to lawyer up, as from 1962, we're talking To Kill a Mockingbird. While in the blue corner, we're crossing one state line into the neighbouring Mississippi, where there's one hell of a trial going on as Drake Brigance defends Carl Lee Haley in a case that divides the community. From 1996, it's A Time to Kill.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gregory Peck.
The world never seems as fresh and wonderful, as comforting and terrifying, as good and evil, as it does when seen through the eyes of a child. For a writer to capture that feeling is remarkable. And perhaps that is why one book in the last few years has been so warmly embraced by tens of millions of people. To Kill a Mockingbird.
I figure there's a lot of people out there tired of all the raping, killing. They'd be sympathetic to a man who took the law in his own hands. Even if he is black.
Our society cannot condone men who take the law into their own hands, no matter what the circumstance.
How do you wish to plead? Not guilty, Your Honor.
So, it's a Southern courtroom drama duel this week, but which film is better? Let's find out together. Welcome to Clash of the Titles.
Release the Kraken!
Hello, Clash Putters. In the name of God, do your duty. I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crompton.
I'm Chris Tilley.
Yeah, welcome back, V.
Yay!
Hi, Vicky.
Hi, guys.
The dream team, back together.
Whoop.
Never been called that, apart from by me, just now.
Great, well, that's an honour.
Yeah, no worries.
Thanks for having me.
How was your holiday?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
We missed you.
Did you?
Apart from when Kim was here and Dave was here.
Yeah, naturally, of course. You just need someone
also,
in that third chair.
Actually, that show we did, just the two of us, that was pretty awesome, 48 Hours in Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, we spent too much time talking about chairs.
We love chair chat now. By
the really?
Way, you're playing catch up on the chair chat.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
it's an integral part of the show.
Do you know a lot about chairs? Because I do.
Oh, no.
No, but I did just see a table that had been dumped.
In the park.
Wait.
What did you think of that table?
Looked all right.
Yeah, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I said to Vicky, that table looks all right.
We should take it.
The worst table I've ever seen.
It's in the park. I mean, someone thinks it's terrible. Even the council won't take it.
I quite liked it.
It's horrible.
If it's still there after the show, I'm grabbing it.
You should.
I'll help.
Yeah, great. So welcome to part one of Kill a Mockingbird versus Time to Kill. If you're new to the show, this is how it works. We are doing To Kill a Mockingbird today and then A Time to Kill on Thursday, at which point we will declare which is the better film. So the clue I gave on last week's show, Chris, help me out. I can't remember. Was it really bad? Can you even remember?
No.
Because you put on Twitter... Alex did such a good job.
I'll see you in court, counsellor, I think, but in a southern accent. Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was awful.
You want to do that again?
No. I made him do it three times. Dave was super embarrassed, to be honest. He wanted to get out of the room when we were doing that.
But you know what happens when I do an impression? Sometimes I just get it on the first go. And then when I always. And then when I try and recreate it,
the magic's gone.
It degrades.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Well, have a quick go.
No, I'm not doing it. Foghorn Leghorn. It was awful. So your guesses arrived and were locked up on our Twitter, where we're at ClashPod. If you'd like to follow us for loads of exciting behind-the-scenes pod action, that's an oversell. We're also on Instagram and TikTok at ClashPod. And if you're in the business for a little extra Clash of the Visual variety, completely free of charge, please subscribe to our Clash of the Titles YouTube channel. Correct guesses-wise, well done to Rob McLean, Gary Dunn, Ian Robson and Marion Baudet Fitzsimmons. But this week's winner with the first correct guess, Tim Wilkins. Tim, your prize this week is to climb inside a tyre and have the three of us just roll you down the street. What? We're on a budget.
I know. You make your own fun, don't you?
Sorry, and that actually means bring your own tyre, Tim. We don't have a tyre.
Did you see the lad who pushes the tyre in one of the documentaries, many documentaries about To Kill a Mockingbird, him talking about that, shooting that scene?
I really hope this trivia is good, because
it's quite good.
It sounds quite boring.
He wanted to kill her. He was trying to kill her. He hated her so much, the girl who plays Scout.
Oh, really?
He said, I was trying to push her as hard as I could into a tree.
Well, he did push her towards Boo Radley's house, and that was a bad un, apparently. Ooh, spoiler. You've seen the movie. You've done your homework.
Can I pet him?
Right.
That's We'll get there.
Ryan, connection section. Lawyers taking less money than normal for their services.
Yes.
Nice one.
Rape, court, racism, lawyers with kids.
Kids getting bullied at school for what their dads say.
Yeah, massive closing speeches where it all rests on the closing speech.
Tyres. There's a tyre. We've just mentioned the tyre, and there are loads of tyres on the cars in A Time to Kill.
Oh, just all right.
Mm. They both reference God in their summations as well.
Do they?
I think it's important.
Yes.
In the name of God, do your duty.
Yes. Mm. That's all I've got. Based on books, that's pretty obvious, but it's my first week back, so.
That'll do. Any more, Chris?
White saviours.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Of course.
A lot
of course.
White saviours.
Big subject. Big
ham.
Subject.
Scout dresses as a ham and Sutherland is a ham.
His accent's not great.
That'll do us then. So, let's get into this. On Thursday, I'll be talking about the movie that made us go, McConaughey, that guy's going to be a star, in A Time to Kill, which means today, still at the top of V's to-do list, To Kill a Mockingbird. V, take us on a journey.
My God, Atticus Finch is a great guy, manfully coping with the death of his wife, who was cruelly fridged by Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Harper Lee. Atticus is raising his kids alone, by which I mean he's paying, I hope, his maid Calpurnia to raise his kids, and never checking if she's got a life of her own, telling her to move into his house after he puts his family in danger by taking on a controversial case. I'm only joking. He's definitely an amazing dad. But is he an amazing lawyer? With absolutely no evidence other than that man did it, Tom Robinson is falsely accused and convicted of rape. And the fact that his charge is a bit shocking, but Atticus is too busy shooting dogs and sitting on the porch to mount a robust defence and relies a bit too heavily, in my opinion, on Tom being right-handed, rather than there not being a shred of physical evidence that a crime even happened. But racism is a bitch. Get it? Sorry, I'm allowed to say that. And we're treated to the miserable and unfortunate consequences of that when one of the rare times a rape charge actually results in guilty, she's only gone and made the whole thing up. Bloody typical. So Tom endures death by police and Atticus has to face up to his children that have just learned that racism is very much a thing and they're understanding tolerance too. But they take that way too far when Scout leaves terrifying ghost man Boo Radley alone in with her comatose brother so that Boo can touch him. Here's another lesson, Scout. Don't take presents from strangers and definitely don't encourage them to fondle your comatose brother. If only your mum was alive is all I can say. It would never have happened.
So it's warm Robert Duvall, though, isn't it? It's beautiful Robert Duvall.
He looks fucking terrifying.
He's kind. It's a kind
eyes.
Face.
You've got to look into the eyes. Always look in the
he's
eyes.
He's smiling with his eyes.
He is smizing.
Smizing,
he's the
he
best
is.
Smizer.
So the next
you meet him in real life and he's a cantankerous dick.
Yeah. You don't like him, do you?
He's fine. He's just over promoting movies.
Done.
Don't bring him out then. Don't bring him out. No one's going to win in this situation, least of all the movie.
Yep.
Hey, so Jack Reacher. Fucking Jack Reacher. Yeah, okay, good chat.
Now, the next bit is where I say, I've read it, I've not seen it. Is that right? Yeah. I've read this book, I've not seen this film before.
What the fuck? You've had 3 weeks.
I forgot. So then, is that the bit now? And then, what do I say? I say, have you seen it? And you say, no, you haven't seen it. It's black and white, so no. You've probably seen it about a million times.
Once.
But, oh, that's blown my mind. So, you're supposed to go, it's always on the telly on a Sunday.
So, what we normally do there, I know you've been off for a bit, we do our own bits, you don't do them for
us.
Oh,
God, okay.
Yeah, yeah,
fine,
yeah.
Right.
It's just a format thing.
So
but
when
sure.
did you not see it, and when did you see it on the telly on a Sunday?
I not saw it for the first 44 years of my life. So that was a long,
awesome.
A long 44 years. I kept thinking, God, I've got to watch Infinity War again.
Have you read the book? Obviously not.
Yes.
Have you?
No.
Interesting the changes, isn't it, between the book and the film? We'll definitely talk more about that later.
I want to get into those today, please.
But I saw the play recently.
Of course you did.
I did, yeah. I didn't. I chose not to see it when Ralph Spall was playing Atticus Finch.
Because you hate him?
No, he's fine. He just doesn't strike me as Atticus Finch.
But Matthew Modine
does.
He does. He does.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was better.
Yeah.
I imagine. But it wasn't Gregory.
This is the kind of thing that gets reviewers into trouble. It was way better with Matthew Modine. Oh, you saw it with Ralph Spall. Come again?
Sure he was fine.
I'm sure he was fine.
You are still reviewing something you haven't seen.
Okay, so that's that bit done, yeah. Right? All right, so I'm just going to tell you a little bit about this film. Is that right? That's what I normally say, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, you hate that bit? Oh, no, what? Have I forgotten something?
No.
You, shut up! Anyway, here we go. It's based on the 1961 Pulitzer Prize-winning book of the same name, published in 1960. I was going to say, it's the book that everyone thinks they've read at school, but obviously you didn't. Have you read it?
Yes.
I don't know if they've read it or not. People don't think they've read it.
No, I've talked to so many people, and they're like, did we read that at school?
But I read it, but I'm not sure if it was for school or not.
Yeah.
But it's a very nice, easy, fun read, actually.
I don't think
it's like it's not like homework.
No. So it was originally, so the book, just to tell you a bit about that, started life as like a series of anecdotes, sort of vignettes, and it was then called Girl Setter Watchman, which was then a follow-up book, but many, many years later. Then...
Kind of,
yeah. This is really interesting because I've got a bit about Gregory Peck's involvement in the cut of the film. So the book was then called Atticus, because it was about Atticus. But the publisher was like, no, and then it changed and all the rest of it. Then it becomes To Kill a Mockingbird. It's published, very small print run, doesn't get picked up until it's been knocking around the New York Times bestseller list for a while. And then it wins the Pulitzer. So then by 1962, which is the time the film comes out, it's obviously a very big deal. The producers, they asked Harper Lee to do the screenplay. She said no. So then you get Horton Foote, and she described it, I love this, looked like God, except clean shaven. How much do you love that? She's a good writer.
That's great.
It's amazing.
God definitely has a beard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
And there's a woman, so.
I'd only recognise God if I saw the beard first coming through the door.
Through the clouds. Yeah.
Yeah. The cloud's eyes beard.
That's nice. So anyway.
Yeah, great writer.
There's a lot of like, and you will talk about this because you've talked to me about this, this is Gregory Peck's thing. He is Atticus. Atticus is him. He was playing himself. And when he died, people said a lot of things like that. But they did consider Rock Hudson before going to Gregory Peck, apparently.
Yeah, he said the best day of his life was the day he was given this book.
Yeah.
Harper Lee said Atticus gave him an opportunity to play himself.
Yes.
I mean, he'd done this film about anti-Semitism called Gentleman's Agreement a few years before. He's making this film a long time before the civil rights movement really gets going. So he was a very strong character who believed in things and sort of put his money where his mouth is.
Yeah. He threw himself into it. You know, he went and met Harper Lee's dad, who Atticus is based on.
He's holding his watch in scenes in the courtroom because he passed away when they were making the film. And Harper Lee gave him the watch and he's sort of holding it like he saw the dad hold it.
It's lovely. And they did, because Harper Lee and Gregory Peck become really good friends. It's really sweet. So when it was nominated for a ton of Oscars, he sent her a letter, including one for him, that said, congratulations on your 8 nominations for the Academy Award to her, which is just lovely, like proper friends. I really
and
like
I saw,
that.
The DVD I've got has sort of pages from his script annotated.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. And he's written at the end of it, fairness, stubbornness, courage, love.
Did you see the one where, so you've been doing the Do Your Duty speech, and so I saw an annotated page of that where he's put his... like crib notes in his handwriting on the script.
Mm.
And that for me was a revelation because I never see scripts where they've got actors' notes on them.
That's interesting.
So it's like, give it weight, give it time, don't let them down, lots of pauses. And then it just says blood and he's underlined it. And it makes sense when you think about it, but it's just so chilling to see the actor's process. That's chilling good. In a nice
so
way.
So it's not like a pep talk. It's not like, go on, Gregory. You do it.
You got this.
You got this, boy.
Yeah. Remember to speak here.
Remember how hot you are.
Greatest, you are a hot dad.
Greatest dad in the world, TM. That's you.
No, it says blood.
Big boy.
So they're Mary Badham and Philip Alford as Scout and Jem. Both excellent. She got Best Supporting Actress nomination, but then this is the thing I was saying before. Gregory Peck's company part financed the film, so he has a little bit of, well, he has a fair amount of say in how it turns out. He sees the final cut. Sorry, also to say, the book is from her point of view, obviously, and then you've got the voiceover and all the rest of it. But he wasn't, so Gregory Peck wasn't happy with the rough cut and said Atticus had no chance to emerge as courageous or strong. He basically thinks the kids are in it too much.
he said tone Scout down.
Yes, which is, you know, but you have to remember that Harper Lee and Gregory Peck are friends.
You got the Oscar, did you, Gregory? Yeah, I didn't, you see. It's just, I mean, I'm not saying it was that different cut, but, you know, they did say we didn't give you the Oscar because you were toned down just a smidge too much.
Maybe, yeah. He said he thought that Atticus came across as wishy-washy. And so he just wanted the kids taken out of it and him to be in it more. That's not a direct quote.
The kid doesn't stay in the picture.
Yeah. So he wanted the children's scenes. His was cut down to proportion. So this is what's interesting about the play adaptation. So Aaron Sorkin's adaptation, that was Broadway 2018, and then it came to the West End. But Harper Lee's estate sued Aaron Sorkin over the adaptation because Atticus was too prominent rather than Scout. Fun, no? It didn't work. You know, it was all sorted out before Aaron Sorkin's thing went to Broadway. But isn't that interesting?
Mm.
That the film is like, this is a film about Atticus Finch, basically. Told from the kids' point of view, the kids have to be in the scenes in order for Gregory Peck to do his thing. But it is interesting that her estate, when Aaron Sorkin's like, the man is front and centre, we're like, we're not comfortable with that.
Is that the same estate that talked her into releasing a sequel that she'd written 50 years before
and put in a box?
had dementia for 10 years.
Yeah.
She couldn't even read the book that she was releasing.
It's so
But two
dodgy,
years before she
it?
Died, yeah.
Mm. Oh, and then the other thing was, I was going to say this later, but it just, I'd never heard this rumour and I found it so upsetting. Harper Lee and Truman Capote were friends. She helped him research In Cold Blood.
Mm.
When To Kill a Mockingbird comes out and it's a huge hit eventually, you know, a bit of a slow burn, but Pulitzer Prize and all the rest of it, she didn't then do anything for a very long, well, forever.
I love that.
Yeah, I know. I've done
it. Isn't that amazing?
But then people
start
to say that...
You're not long for that day where you go, you know...
I've done one thing.
What do you do now? I'm a recluse.
I did one thing, but it sort of ticked every sort of thing on my bucket list at the same time. So I'm just going to live now.
Well, then, because then there were rumours that she didn't ever write it. Because if she couldn't do it again, maybe she didn't write it. Maybe Truman Capote wrote it. Isn't that awful?
I don't think that's true.
No, of course it's not true.
Yeah, what is true is that I believe he stopped talking to her when she won the Pulitzer because of his jealousy.
Really?
Yeah, he had real issues with...
Did he not win it?
Maybe.
I don't know.
And also because he wrote it. That was the other reason.
He's like, you've taken my name off it. That's not cool. So, that's all I have, unless you've got anything else.
No.
All right, lovely.
That's all great. Right.
Thank you.
Really good.
Was that all right?
That was great.
Super quick.
Welcome back.
Thank you. You're making me feel weird.
No, it's good to have you.
You've made it weird.
I know, I have.
Yeah.
Now we talk about the film.
Okay, great. All right, I'll talk about the film. All right, here we go. Right, so it's 1932. Scout is six. She's very innocent. Says things to her dad like, are we poor?
Mm. She's not six, is she?
No, she's definitely not six.
You would know this.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I was like, she's definitely at least 10.
Quite a bit of voiceover at the start, though. I know it's a classic, but does it pass the voiceover test? Adult Scout going, Maycomb was a poor town.
I mean, it's really hard because you don't want to mess around with Pulitzer Prize winning writer Harper Lee. No. This is the hill I will die on.
Get straight to the tie a bit, right?
To be honest, show me the town is poor. It's easy to do. It's fine. No, I don't think so. But you can't mess around with that book, can you, I guess? If the source material is that good, then I suppose a voiceover gets a pass.
Yeah,
but not for me, obviously. Yeah. But for the world, it's fine.
Truman would be livid.
Yeah. Hmm.
Before we get there, though, I feel like that opening credit scene with the music and the
treasures box.
Yeah, the treasure box. I do feel like it sort of makes you feel like a child. I felt like I was being transported.
Yeah.
I think it's a really interesting way to open the film that sort of puts me in a different mindset.
It's great. It's that weird thing where you sort of, because I mean, I know you made the joke about black and white earlier, but I haven't seen it and it is in black and white and it was made in 1962. But watching these kids playing on the street and the Boo Radley house, the Radley house, all of that really took me back to my childhood, playing on a street in Leeds in the house that you never went in the garden of because the owner was really scary and no one ever saw it. Yeah.
And playing Knockador Run, like we used to do all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Elmer Bernstein did the score and he said that he made it all single notes.
Yes.
Like a child would play on the piano.
Oh, like plonky plonky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's clever.
I think as well, I loved the treasure box because I'm sure a lot of children is, but my children in particular, they call it their memory box. And it's their box of stuff and you are not allowed to throw anything away out of the box. And it's got really weird stuff in it.
Like what?
Like old trading cards, like old Disney cards that they don't care about, but you got them free from the supermarket. They love them.
Yeah.
This is really sweet. A birthday card that I wrote to them when they were too young to read, but now they can read. They can read the message.
A dead bird.
A stick.
Right.
An old nasty stick.
Worse than a bird.
Yeah, Leo's obsessed with, and I do go through the memory box and I get rid of it. He just collects rubbish. So when you go through his memory box, he's got the inside of loo rolls that he's just pulled out of the bathroom bin and put in a box.
Wait, so why are you allowed to go through them? Do you not respect their privacy?
I do respect their privacy, but it's like it's becoming a fire hazard.
You're worried about boobs. Princess Leia boobs in there.
I think it's prudent on me to check.
I think it's fine. I'm not. Look, when I was a kid, there was an advert on TV for a toy that I desperately wanted, but I think it was marketed at girls. And when you're like 6 years old, you're like, well, that's not for me.
Yeah.
But it was Keepers. Do you remember Keepers?
Oh my God, I had one.
Keepers, creepers, what's inside those Keepers? And it was like a snail where you
unlocked it.
You unlocked the shell and you put your stuff in there.
Do you want to know something awful about me? I had one of those. I kept it for years. Then I grew up. And then when I was older, I used to hide 10 Marlboro Gold inside it. Marlboro Light as was. Sorry. Sorry, Philip Morris. I'm sorry.
Enjoyed that.
Oh, that feels like a big thing because that's a horrible secret. Mm. That's a really big secret. I can say it now because no one's around that cares, but it was a really big deal to me. So, Atticus, as you said, just a great dad.
He's amazing.
He's amazing.
Honestly, I was like, oh my gosh.
Loves his kids.
Scout and Gem are so lucky and they don't even know.
Even with a dead mom.
They don't know, yeah. Probably better with her gone because he's even nicer now. He's compensating for the
lack of
a
mother. He will never bollock them for anything.
No.
The amount of stuff these kids do that for me are but instant bollocking. Mm. Don't follow me to work. Like, you've gone mad. But he's like, hey kids, come on.
Yeah.
Here I am. It's nice that he's
what
older.
What are you doing
what
here?
What are you doing in this courtroom? Dead wife. I'm just going to say it. It's that sexy Still Waters Run Deep grief thing, which I feel bad saying it because everyone's like, this is a maestro performance, but you fridge the wife so that Gregory Peck can be sexy.
There's more mother in the film than in the book.
More,
I think there's only one sentence dedicated to the mother in the book, whereas in the film, they at least have a couple of conversations.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? In the film, Gregory Peck asks for the kids to be brought down, but his dead wife to be brought up to make
him
look sexier.
Yeah, that tracks. Mm. And then we meet Dill, Dill is based on Truman Capote.
I didn't know that. And
no,
it's
I know.
Oh, wow.
I loved it. Like, first, you're like, that's, I can't get with this kid. And then when he pops back up, you're like, yay! Dill's here.
What are you going to say next, Dill?
He's so good.
You little weirdo.
Yeah.
He's good. And he's important in the book because you're not sure where his dad is, what his situation is, because he's staying with his auntie. But so Atticus can then just adopt him as well because he's got so much love to give.
And a lot of time because he's not doing a lot of trial work. So
there's not much to do, really, is there?
No.
Maybe thought it'd just be like cut and shut kind of thing because there's no evidence. Yeah. But anyway. And then Jem. Jem is also so good. So the kids are living in a dill. So it's contained. Their biggest challenge is Creepy Boo Radley next door.
Got no money, but they're happy.
They're very, very happy.
Are we poor?
Yes, we are.
But we've got a maid, so it's fine. We've got staff.
We're not the poorest people.
We don't pay her anything.
Town. Mr. Cunningham, he's poorer, so don't worry.
We've got money. And then Atticus takes the case, Tom Robinson. So, dual plot lines here with the same theme. Innocence, which will be denied at court, which ultimately threatens the kids morally, but then will threaten them physically because later Mr. Yule crosses the plot lines kind of thing and attacks the kids, which then brings Boo Radley out. So the kids are learning, will learn, that the world is very big, but also how to be better within that world, like their dad. Mm. That's the book, that's the film, all good. The scene where, I love this bit, right? So Jem invites the poor kid from school, who's the Cunningham kid, over for dinner. That's really lovely, but he's got his little shirt and tie on, so he's just trying to be like his dad. I just thought that was lovely. Like, he's trying to do the right thing. And I know it's for school, but he is dressed up like his daddy. I just thought it was lovely.
It's such a on-the-money scene as well, where the kid asks for syrup to pour on his roast dinner and Scout calls him out.
Yeah.
Because she's a kid. Mm. And you've been, like, when you do see someone do something, like, you have a friend over for dinner when you're a kid and they, like, you know, ask for, like, I don't know, mayonnaise with their chips or something, you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And it's just that. There's so much in this movie that is instantly relatable.
I saw a lot of myself in that kid, but for me, it's vinegar.
Okay.
I treat the way that kid treats syrup is how I treat vinegar.
I respect
and it's
that.
Weird.
Yeah. I got into that.
I drench everything in
Can
vinegar.
Can I ask, is it malt vinegar?
Yes.
Okay, great.
I put it on a
balsamic,
pizza.
Obviously. Red wine, white wine, cider vinegar, sherry vinegar. Don't make me list all the vinegars.
No, but we're talking about chips because it's that weird thing.
Is he talking? Did you say chips? You said dinner.
I made an assumption.
I said everything. I put it on.
12 years old. And all you eat is chips.
I put it on some pizza earlier.
Did
That's
you?
Fucking disgusting.
That's
I know.
Hangover.
You're depraved. You're a reprobate, and I don't know you anymore.
I love
See,
it.
Don't be
vinegar,
scout.
Have you put malt vinegar on a pizza?
I've never done it, but I will. Chris Tilly, full
you're
goblin mode.
Incorrigible.
Fuck it, put the vinegar.
I mean, I didn't know we were going there. I mean, what I do is like you make these crispy oven chips, and you're like crispy, and then you just go glug glug glug,
oh,
and
yeah.
they just soggy. They
make
disintegrate.
Make them swim.
Yeah, have you ever said that in a fancy restaurant? Yeah, can
make
I have the vinegar?
Swim.
But enough, because I want to make them swim.
And they're like, we don't have malt vinegar because this is a restaurant.
Yeah.
But also I think because, it's like you said, kids say what they're going to say, and it's really hard to teach kids what manners is. So Scout, like Calpurnia bollocks Scout, I like
well,
that for
she
her.
She hits her.
Does she?
She slaps her bottom.
Does she?
You're not allowed to do that anymore.
No, you're not allowed
not
to
especially
do
Especially not to your own kid.
Well, not to your basic, like your boss.
Kind of, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Your boss in waiting. But Calpurnia doesn't have much agency, which is kind of appropriate for the time it's set in, but she does get to tell the child off, and I think that's quite important.
That's definitely one thing that Aaron Sorkin has added to it, is she has a lot more agency in the play.
Oh, that's nice.
And she calls Atticus Finch out at one point in the play
right.
for expecting gratitude for just doing the right thing.
Yes,
which
good.
Is, you know,
because that's the thing, it's not in there, especially when they all stand up for him and it's like, white saviour, but it's like that, you can't do that today.
No.
Because it's like, you've just done the right thing.
We'll get to it on Thursday. Jake Brigance does get called out in Time
yeah,
to
I
Kill.
Yeah, I love that bit. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Whereas it doesn't happen here. And so I thought it was weird when Aaron Sorkin's rewriting To Kill a Mockingbird.
Sure.
But when I watched the space, oh no, there are
he
some...
He doesn't, by the way.
there is some interesting things that he has done to,
yeah.
to this.
To bring it up today.
Yeah.
I think it's a legitimate change so we don't all go, ugh, God. Like, yeah. It's icky otherwise. Like, yeah. Everyone's sort of celebrating this man. So, this is, and obviously, this is where we hear Remember It's a Sin to Kill a Mockingbird, which is, I read so much about this, like, do mockingbirds represent innocence? And is it, it's too simplistic. Tom Robinson doesn't get very much to do until he gets his big moment later, but when he's first accused or like, the charge is like, it's all from Atticus's perspective.
Yeah, you don't
even know what he's
you
done.
You don't see him for
no.
the majority.
And he's a disembodied voice.
The movie.
And...
Yeah, I think that's the first time you hear him speak when yeah. Atticus is outside the courthouse and he goes, have they gone?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
And it looks a bit gross now because it's like, this is your story, but we don't even get to see your face until you're in court.
He was in it more originally, but Gregory Peck...
I can't believe
tone it.
It
down.
He had some notes.
Oh, God, yeah, because he's like...
No, I'm joking. That is not true.
No, I know. Wait, is Gregory Peck listening?
I'm here.
I agree with you.
Rafe Spall said tone it down, apparently.
Which is why you've boycotted that performance.
Yeah, but Modine brought it back, though. It was like, that's not right.
I think we should have...
That's not true. None of that is true. God damn it. Do your duty.
Can we have a short break? That's as good as I can do. I'm so sorry.
Ticks a box.
Do I tick a box? Am I a box ticked?
No, you have to stop speaking after you say it.
Oh, yeah. And you don't really.
I'll do it. And now the break. You're welcome.
You spoke.
No,
and now
you
a break.
Spoke. No.
Oh, fuck.
Jesus Christ.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it? to the Premier League.
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Right, so then, Scout, right, because of what's going on at school, she asks why her dad, to her dad, why would you defend Tom Robinson? And it's like, this guy's like got the weight of the world on his shoulders and he's doing it because it's the right thing to do and all the rest of it. So when I see that now, I'm like, oh, that question is irrelevant. A white child wouldn't ask that question now. And then I was like, but would they? Like, in modern US, modern anywhere, whatever, would a child still be teased at school for what her dad was doing in this context? It just made me wonder, like, it's not as irrelevant. Maybe that hasn't aged, as in that could still happen.
I mean, it's
this is like white person, like, oh, shock, racism.
It's certainly
thing,
interesting when the judge approaches him to first ask him to take the case. When he's sitting on the porch and the judge comes up and he goes, so the Tom Robinson trial's coming up, I want you to represent him. And it is that sort of, you get that, you get the magnitude of what he's taking on. So he certainly thinks, you know, there is going to be fallout for his kids and everything representing Tom Robinson. And, you know, his answers are very sort of like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very like, you know, like he's working out the consequence of his decision in that moment.
Yeah. I just wondered where we are in the conversation around, is it I thought it was a moot point now, and maybe it's not, which is one of the things that hasn't changed in the last 90 years or whatever. The scene, I absolutely love this. So the mob at the jailhouse step scene. Oh. So Atticus has gone to sit outside Tom Robinson's cell so that vigilante justice will not be served. And then the kids, because the kids just keep following him around all over the place, so they follow him, and it's the kids that diffuse the situation. But oh, there's so much going on, because you know that Atticus Finch is physically capable, possibly, of... It's not just an idle threat when he's like, you should go home, because we saw him shoot the dog, so we know he's not just intellectual. He's got something else physically that could be...
Yeah, it is interesting, though. There is a lot going on in this scene, and when Scout comes up and starts her little bit,
yeah,
there's a shot of her face, and the expression on her face suggests that she knows exactly what she's doing. This isn't a naive thing.
Yeah.
She's not just speaking like a child. There's an adult decision that's been like, this is a dangerous situation for my dad. I know what will help defuse
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Because Jem... What he does is very brave for a little boy. He doesn't want to leave his dad. But what Jem and Atticus are doing, the end road for that is violence, because they're like, you go away. No, you go away. I'm not going. You go. And then what Scout does is a very sort of feminine thing to do, which is to distract. So you diffuse the threat of violence by going, oh, it's you. Do you remember this?
And also actively shames him into being there.
But in the nicest way.
Yeah, of course.
Like
yeah.
gently does it. So no one feels upset. No one's, you know, what she's done is taken quite a lot of bravado and neatly diffused it without anybody feeling they've lost face, which is a very impressive skill for a 6/16-year-old. I don't think a 6-year-old can ever do that, but fine.
Scout can,
yeah. Scout's amazing. Mm,
Scout's the best.
And so then we're at the trial. Now, this is the first time I've seen this film, and I'm looking at the clock, and it's like, this trial, I couldn't believe how quick it was, basically. It feels really swift, do you not think?
68 minutes in, the trial happens.
Yeah, and then I thought, oh, we'll spend the rest of the time in the courthouse. Even though I've read the book, so I should know, but it feels really quick.
It's an unusual structure, because normally the end of the film would be the end of the trial.
The verdict, yeah.
But no, we got a 20-minute trial, and then we've got another half hour after that.
Yeah. And so I got confused when I was doing my notes. This is the one where they say the jury have been deliberating for 2 hours. Is that right? So you're supposed to think that there's a chance that it would be the correct verdict, which would be not guilty. So maybe that's the victory that they did pretend to think about it, because you've got an all-white jury. A lot of it rests on the fact that Miella Yule was beaten on her right side, and so a left-handed person would do it. Tom can't even use his left hand, so it's not like...
Whereas Mr. Yule is left-handed.
Yule is left-handed.
It's good. He's awful, isn't he, Mr. Yule?
Yeah.
Brilliantly awful, but awful.
Upsetting stories about him on the set. They all said... All the other actors said he was a bit like his character.
Oh, dear.
He told the producers, I know this man. But who was it? Is it Brock Peters?
Yeah.
he said he was a horrible man. They all said he was a horrible man. And they said when you stood him next to Brock Peters, it was like looking at good and evil. Oh, so, yeah.
So, yeah,
Colin... And the kids hated him. He was horrible to the kids.
Well, that's why he's very good in the
role.
Very
good.
Yes,
very
perfect.
Perfect. Playing himself.
Great casting.
So Colin Wilcox, who plays Mayella Yule, and Brock Peters as Tom Robinson, they both get their big moments. The details that I loved that Mayella saved for a year to be able to send the kids out for ice cream. Mm. That's the sort of thing you go, oh, this town is poor because it takes a year to save up for a little treat like that. And that Tom has to say to her that's a nice thing to do when he's giving his testimony, when he's recounting, like his speech, he is the victim of an assault and no one believes him, which is very typical of a rape case, except he's also bearing the burden of being the accused and it will kill him. Mm. That's massive.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
And he said, Brock Peters said that I found it easy to get to that place of frustration, anger and isolation because I've lived it.
Yes.
And the woman who plays Mayella is fantastic. She said, I see this woman, I played her as a trapped animal.
Yeah.
She's trapped at home, she's trapped on the stand, she's trapped in life. And so she's just sort of panicking and...
And then doubles down as well. You think she's going to crack.
That's it. That's such a good moment. Because he like Atticus, and you're like, oh, this is his big moment where he goes, do you want to tell us?
Yeah.
What really happened? And I was like, aha, he's going to get the cut. Oh my God, no, she's gone. She's actually gone, which I don't think you're allowed to do in court. I'm going to say one more thing and then I'm never saying anything again. She goes, this is what happened. And she continues the line and she goes, I'm done. It's you don't get to say that.
Yeah.
We tell you.
It comes up later, but it's obviously a shame, but it's of its time that we don't get the chance to look at why Mayella might have done it, because power runs upwards, oppression runs downwards. So Mayella's got less power than the white men in her life, but more power than the black men in her life. So when she flexes her power, it obviously goes downward to the group below her. So she's taking advantage of the group that she can, as she is taken advantage of by those above her in the pecking order.
Yeah.
That's what's happened.
Yeah,
she's not doing it for a laugh. Like,
no, she's a victim, but then she I mean, it's a nightmare, really, isn't it?
For her, and for him, for everyone, apart from Mr. Yule, who needs to do the right thing, but won't.
And Gregory Peck was saying that when Brock Peters has his big moment on the stand, he said, I had to look past him. I couldn't look at him because I would cry.
Oh, what a good man he is. What a great man. I mean, the thing that really does for Tom, which is obvious of its time, is saying that he feels sorry for Mayella.
Yeah, that's the thing that signs his death warrant.
Yeah, they can't have that.
Like, no.
And then... you know, in the closing speech, Atticus Finch is saying that the kiss that happened is unspeakable, which is like a really weird thing to hear now. But that's what it was. And Atticus is imploring the jury, which is the opposite of A Time to Kill, to look beyond passion for evidence. Whereas in A Time to Kill, it's just look at your passion and what would you do kind of thing. And then he's found guilty. So I did find this a bit weird. Did they do this in the stage thing that you saw? So the people of colour in the gallery stand for Atticus, like, thank you for trying, even though it didn't quite work. I just hated it because it just felt wrong.
Yeah. I can't remember how they do it in the play, but certainly I read an interview with Sorkin where he said that was his favourite moment when he was younger, watching the film. And now it's his least favourite moment.
Yeah.
He said they shouldn't be standing for Atticus Finch. They should be burning the courtroom down.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just looks different, doesn't it, through modern eyes?
Yeah. It just looks like, oh, good. Well, do you want a big pat on the back kind of thing? But then Tom has to die. So sort of like death by police. And then in the confrontation, so this is the thing. So Atticus is confronted by Mr. Yule. He spits at him. Which is very, like, that's unbelievable. But he still doesn't lose his temper. And I think that's the thing that then propels Mr. Yule to do what he does.
Yeah.
Because he cannot get a rise out of this man. So he's going to go after his kids, which is, like, major stuff.
Yeah. I mean, is there a time for violence? Our hero practices non-violence, preaches it, does it, says it. But is there a point where he should turn around and lamp Bob Yule?
Because you think it would like take some of the energy out of it. Like, if Mr. Yule felt that they'd had a big fight and got it done, would he have gone after the children?
Should we stay neutral in the face of racism?
No, we shouldn't, because then we are part of the problem.
Mm.
So, no, we shouldn't. Sorry, I'm just working this through. But when he gets spit at, you don't think he's going to hit him, but that's what Mr. Yule wants to do.
Yep.
And he will not do it, and that then puts his children in danger. You know, he's not going to think like that. He's not like, well, if I don't hit him, they'll come after the kids. But that is what happens.
But also, within the logic of the film, it also, because he doesn't react in the moment, brings about Mr. Yule's death.
Yes.
It's a good thing.
Is it? Yeah, that's thorny. Well,
Is it? Wow, get him. Get Mr. Capital Punishment over there.
He's like that, though.
He is, isn't he?
That scene in the diner we'll talk about on Thursday, I'm with Jake Brigance.
But that's because your understanding of the legal system is also scant and it's full of holes.
At the end of Seven, Brad Pitt is going for help.
But you also think you could be accused of a crime and someone could go up as a character witness and go, but he is lovely. And they'll go, all right then, fine, we understand.
That's a thing. That's how character witnesses work. Yeah. That's the whole point of a character witness.
They can neutralise a criminal charge.
If you get a good character witness and they say to the jury, Alex is actually probably one
pretty
of the
all right.
best people I've met, then bosh, it is done. Because I'll
look
go. Because I'll go. Yeah, I am.
I am. And I'm really sad and I'm really sorry.
I didn't mean to do all the things that you're trying me for.
I'm really, really sorry.
And a little scout, like in a ham costume. Oh, she's so cute.
It's hilarious.
She's so cute.
You need to, Halloween, I want to see
big
all
ham.
Three of your kids in hams.
I will do that. It's just so
I'll get
lovely.
Pete to do it with B. They can all go out. I want to see four hams.
What's the group noun for hams?
Alex?
Actually, I don't know that one.
It's a grumbling of hams.
No, I think it's a mongoose.
A mongoose. Anyway, it's just so cute. Jem and Scout together. He's like, well, it's not my fault you lost your dress. And she's like, fine, I'll go home the ham. It's just so lovely. And then they're attacked, which is just horrible.
This, what I hadn't realised until this watch was how much of this film is like a horror movie.
Yeah.
The beginning's quite
the
like
bit,
that.
It is.
The
bit
all the stuff with Boo's house.
The shadow, then, like the Nosferatu shadow along the wall.
It's terrifying.
It's a really, it's a good horror film. But this, and it's so well shot this way. You can't see who's doing it and what's happening.
Because she's
and
in then, her house. Yeah. She can't tell what's going on.
Proper POV stuff. I can't see.
Yeah. And the thought of what's actually happening, which is an adult attacking the kids, it's so horrific.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And then Boo Radley saves the day. And so the only thing I thought was weird at this point, it's strange to me. What is Atticus doing? Where is it the sheriff that has to say to him, you know, it wasn't your 12-year-old kid that stabbed a man in the ribs. It was Boo Radley, who P.S. is massive. And he's like, oh, was it?
Right.
Okay,
but
cool.
Isn't that, I thought weird, Atticus is considering letting his son take the fall.
Yes.
That's quite a strange thing for him to do.
That's because he's so virtuous and the law is the law.
But Jem didn't do it.
But then he is virtuous and the law is the law. But then this circular justice is the eye for an eye thing now, because Mr. Yule got Tom killed, ultimately.
Yeah.
And so then the other weirdy thing is that the sheriff says, if everybody knows it was Boo, then it's not that he won't go to prison, which I think is what it should be, because then you're throwing, you're sacrificing the mockingbird.
It's weird.
It'll be like, oh, everyone will come and bake him a cake.
Yeah, that's that. Because I had to watch that bit twice, because I was like, did I just hear that right? But it's the idea that because his act of heroism will bring someone who's a recluse into the spotlight, they shouldn't do it.
Yeah, they say it. The limelight is the word they use,
It would be better if it's like, we're not going to say he's guilty.
Yeah,
because
he'll go to prison
because we don't
or get killed.
Yeah, because he saved the day and we don't want him to go to prison.
And
that makes more sense.
I've forgotten the weirdest bit, which I did talk about, which is, it's so weird. I'm sorry, it's just not good. Like, scary-ass Boo Radley in the corner and Scout's like, it's right, you can touch him. No, don't worry about it. No, he's lovely when he's asleep. He wouldn't let you do it if he was awake.
All he's doing is petting him.
Petting? You can pet him?
Yeah, what starts as petting.
as long as it's not heavy petting.
Well, exactly. But also
it's so weird.
It's Lenny and of Mice and Men.
It is.
If you want to be trusted around children, don't hide behind doors. Why are you in my house? Yes, you saved my life.
Why do you hate Boo Radley?
It's terrifying.
Hide and Seek is a really fun game.
When they're like, oh, you're there. Edie's just like, behind the door.
You can't put words in Boo Radley's mouth. He doesn't go, meh.
I'm here.
He doesn't say anything.
No, of course.
There's kindness in his eyes.
There's kindness in his eyes.
His expression tells you all you need to know that this is a good man.
I mean, I would be like, oh, okay, you're in the house. That's weird. We didn't invite you in, but thank you. But you can go now.
It's very difficult for me to see lovely, warm eyes looking so beautiful and golden, Robert Duvall, and then think about the man who went, fucking Jack Reacher.
Like
he
that.
He didn't do it in a northern accent.
Is he from Manchester? That's so weird. Yeah.
Oh my God, did you not know?
I didn't know.
Yeah, Salford. He's from Salford. But that's how good an actor he is that you thought he's been an American this whole time.
I just find
started on the stage in Salford, Robert Duvall.
Amazing. At the Bolton Octagon.
He was known as Robbie Deevil at the time. And obviously, when he got to Hollywood, he changed into Robert Duvall. Yeah. It sounds classier, but Robbie Deevil.
Bobby Deevil.
Mm. Old Bobby Deevil on the stage with his magic cups.
Blackpool, Central Pier, Bobby Deevil.
Look at my magic cups. Come on. I'll be in The Godfather one day.
Do you want a doll made of soap?
Do you want a balloon animal? You do. Have you got a balloon? No, then.
Can I touch it? What? Sorry. Hello, Hollywood. Anyway, fine.
We've heard he pets kids.
Come on over. And that's it, basically. The season's change is very much I was never the same after that summer vibes. Atticus is the best dad ever. TM, as you said, the end. Mm. That's it. We're done.
Yep. Beautiful.
Okay, lovely.
What a story.
What?
What a story.
Me or her, Harper Lee?
Jesus Christ. Pulitzer Prize winner Harper Lee, maybe.
The trouble with the podcast, right, is you go, what a story, and everyone else thinks you're talking about Harper Lee, but you do it, you make weird eyes at me, and I'm like, are you talking to me?
Boo eyes. I've got my boo eyes in.
You cut your eyes at me. I'm like, what did I do wrong?
Meh.
I'm behind that door.
I'm going to start hiding behind the chair.
Right, let's do the bits. So, Chris, what was your best scene?
I'm going to say Atticus Finch's big 5-minute speech.
Nice.
Because it's good actoring.
It's great actoring. Give that man an Oscar. And you?
I thought Boo was going down at the end. And so it's Sheriff Heck saying that Bob Ewell fell on his knife.
Oh,
and that reveal that they're going to get Boo off the crime because Boo is lovely, by the way, and deserves to pet any sleeping child.
I like the jailhouse steps bit. I like the kids being in solidarity with their dad. I like that push and pull between the dad really wants him to go. Obviously, we'll be quite touched by what they're doing, but for their own safety, they need to go. And they're like, for your safety, we need to be here. And then they are right. I just think that's amazing.
Mm. Yep.
What's your most valuable whatever, Alex?
So it is almost Oscar winner Gregory Peck, as we may have discussed on this episode. Just so warm. The warmth that man exudes. Mm. I was like, I just want to be in your company. But speaking of his children, I'm going for Mary Badham as Scout. I just think she's fantastic. I struggle with child actors at the best of times.
You shouldn't struggle with child actors, mate. Just leave them alone.
They're actually quite compliant. But
weird.
Call me Mr. Yule.
Oh, is this your first alcoholic drink? Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Where's your mum?
Great. Good. That's pleasant. Yeah. So
Clip that.
Yeah, let me... it's Gregory Peck. No, it is. I think she's just brilliant. And I love that fact that she became so close with actor Gregory Peck on set that forevermore they stayed friends, and she always called him Atticus and he always called her Scout and ever and ever.
That's lovely. What about you?
I should go for Gregory Peck as well, but I'm not going to do it either. Uh-oh. I'm going for Brock Peters. I think that it's just a wonderful performance. He does a lot with a little in this film. Mm. Amazing voice, amazing actor. Love it.
I think everyone is really good, and I want to give it to Brock Peters, but I think I will give it to Gregory Peck. I think Harper Lee would be pleased if we did that, so that's what we're going to do. Okay. Yeah, just is very, the Still Waters thing, I take the piss out of it. Like, I'm in grief, but I'm fit. But he's nailed that, so.
I really think it's unfair that people were like, you know, a lot of much later reviews sort of talked about, was he really acting that much, or was he just being Gregory Peck? And I'm like,
he's still acting.
Yeah,
he's acting because he's not actually a lawyer in 1932.
No, and actually that big speech I was talking about, he said he wanted to get emotional saying those words, but Atticus Finch wouldn't be emotional, and so he's having to hold a lot in. I mean, he's fantastic. Apologies to Harper Lee. She probably should have got a vote, but because she did well.
Didn't write it, though.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah. So we're going to give it to Truman Capote. Is our most valuable.
Well earned. What would you change, Chris?
So I haven't read the sequel, whatever it is. It. Apparently it was actually, they realised afterwards it was a first draft of To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
Not so. But the changes that I've read about that are made to Atticus, I think might make this film more interesting.
Okay.
In that, you know, is he too perfect for a hero, for a protagonist? In that book, he has previously been to a Klan meeting. He isn't sure about integration. And so he's got there's question marks over his feelings about race. And I think that might make it, I mean, what am I talking about? Well, I'm not trying to improve on To Kill a Mockingbird, but I just thought that was an interesting direction to go in. And apparently that was more like, because it's based on her dad, Harper Lee's dad. And that version of of the character is more like her dad than the one that's in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. What about you?
Allow me to improve on To Kill a Mockingbird.
Sure.
And indeed,
you're in safe company here. Improve on everything.
Atticus Finch is not perfect. I mean, it's obvious. Don't kill a dog, even if it has rabies.
Oh, God, okay.
Don't
yeah, sorry.
Kill the dog.
You have
forgot.
To. You no, have to.
It will kill your kids.
No,
like, if
just take the rabid dog out entirely.
Oh.
You know what I've had to do? I've had to, because I understand that sometimes animals need to die for story. So Atticus needs to prove he's a good shot. Mm-hmm. It has to be a dangerous animal. Chicken with rabies. I don't love chickens as much as I love dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, a rabid chicken is my change. I know that's probably going to be weird when people go, so on To Kill a Mockingbird, this classic, your change is you want a rabid chicken. A rabid chicken.
No judgment here.
Zombie chicken. Something undead.
A massive zombie chicken.
Or a zombie. There you go.
There we go.
Do you know how much I love zombies? Yeah. I love them a lot.
Yeah.
Put a zombie
he's a
in
dead
it.
Shot. Yeah. Shots in the head.
Because you've got to shoot them in the head.
Yeah.
So, bosh.
Done.
Excellent.
Love it.
So, a zombie, please.
Always zombie chicken. Okay, great. My change is Tom Robinson ran from the police and it got him killed. And I know the narrative device of the film is that we see things if the kids are there, but I would like to see that anyway. I'd like to see Tom Robinson's face when he's like, my legs are running and I don't know why I'm doing it. I want to see my family or I want to die. I don't want to go to prison. But that moment where he's like, I'm just going to run. I want to see that.
Vicky.
Yes.
Did he run?
Oh, I'm an idiot.
I'm not sure he did.
Oh, no.
They can just say he ran and they had to shoot him.
This is like
come
seven
on.
For me. Oh, really?
Jesus. I think maybe they just took him out back and killed him.
Yeah. I thought that was that was the implication I took from that, they were just like...
I thought he just ran.
Mm. Well, that's why we don't see it. I think it's better we don't see it because in my head, I think maybe he didn't run.
Mm. Oh, no.
I was with Chris. But yeah, I think maybe it's there, like Chris said, for that question mark.
Okay. Well,
that horrible, horrible.
Every day is a school day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
So that wasn't a lecture.
Yeah. It wasn't a lecture.
Oh, wait, that's a weird callback to something from 3 weeks ago, is it? Was I lecturing? I was lecturing you, that was it. But I wasn't.
No, I called something you'd done previously a lecture and you took umbrage.
Of course I did. It was a Freudian slip. Yeah, but when you lectured me, it's like, what are you talking
about?
It
wasn't a Freudian slip. It felt like a lecture, but I don't mind being lectured.
I love it. I'm the puppet master.
Jesus.
I forgot about that.
Go at each other.
Weird memory. Right, we're done.
All right. Are we doing a quiz?
I mean, I've got a list.
Okay.
So...
Are we involved?
Yeah.
All right.
So the American Film Institute did a list of the 100 greatest heroes in all of cinema. And number one was Atticus Finch.
Wow.
So I've got the top 10 here. Each have a go at who might be on that list.
Can I ask one quick question?
Yeah.
Are they all men?
There are two women.
In the top 10?
The top 10.
All right.
So what's the title once more of the list?
Greatest heroes.
Okay.
I've got one.
Right. So, yeah, just you get three guesses each. Take it in turns. Vicky.
Ripley from Alien.
Correct!
Yeah!
Point to Vicky. Alex.
Sarah Connor from Terminator 2.
No, Sarah Connor is not on the list. Vicky.
Oh, God, I can't do this.
Think of heroes.
Superman.
No.
Okay.
Alex.
Han Solo.
No. Oh. Last guess, Vicky.
Oh, last guess. Wait, I can do this. Heroes. John McClane.
No.
Shit.
Indiana Jones.
Fuck.
Yes.
No.
1-1, it's a draw.
Oh, that was...
Do you want to do a tie break? Do you want to do one more?
No, I want us to be friends.
Batman.
So.
No. So it's Atticus Finch, Indiana Jones, James Bond.
Of course.
Yeah. Quite a famous hero.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rick Blaine, Casablanca.
Oh, yeah.
Will Kane, High Noon, I'll tell you. Clarice Starling.
Shit.
Brilliant one. My favourite, Rocky Balboa.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Ellen Ripley. George Bailey.
Oh, yeah.
And then T.E. Lawrence.
From Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, I don't know if we'd say that now.
I think this
is from about 10 years
ago. That's an old list.
Anyway, well played. I'm giving it to Vicky.
All right, then. That is us done with To Kill a Mockingbird. Do you want to check my clue for next week? Chris, we've done a
no,
new
thing. No,
you don't.
Go for it, because I haven't got anything.
Why are you checking?
Well, because there's just been the two of us here.
Oh, right. That's not like a new policy
no.
or like a process.
I normally like to check, don't I? And then you don't like me checking.
You never check mine.
He has done. That is an absolute lie.
No, he does it live,
yeah.
but like not
but
free.
But he does check it.
Okay, yeah.
All right. So, your clue, let's look ahead to next week's pairing, is All Dolled Up. That's your clue. That is your clue for next week. I'm only going to say it once.
Okay.
That's it, done. Right then, that is it for this episode. We are, of course, back on Thursday talking A Time to Kill and seeing which film is victorious. Until then, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or every podcast, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Do it now! Till Thursday, have a great week.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.